But first, tomorrow evening at Sydney Town Hall, protesters will gather in solidarity with Kumanji Walker and the Yuendumu community. Kumanji Walker was a 19-year-old Indigenous man who was fatally shot by a police officer early Saturday night. The incident occurred in the remote town of Yuendumu, located about 300 kilometres northwest of Alice Springs. Samantha Smith has more, and we advise that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners that the following report is about a deceased person.
I spoke with protest coordinator Raoul Bussey from Sydney's Indigenous Social Justice Association. And while Raoul isn't himself an Aboriginal man, he is dedicated to supporting Indigenous populations and having a hand in changing the system. He says in a police station, you should be safe.
We want to change the way that the law is applied to Aboriginal people.
Raoul says that the police response was excessive.
With a bullet? No, not that. Three shots is to kill.
To find out whether or not what had happened to Kumanji was commonplace or even within police guidelines, I spoke with Peter Norden, Honorary Fellow in the School of Humanities and Social Sciences at Deakin University. I asked him, is it common for police officers to shoot someone who had harmed them?
It used to be in other parts of Australia until new approaches were taken to actually put preserving human life as the number one priority. And that's the issue, that across the country we've got very different protocols in place in the way in which police respond to people who don't cooperate.
Northern Territory Deputy Police Commissioner Michael White said that since the officer who shot Kumanji had his gun, it's likely he had other tools on him to subdue Kumanji. And while Peter couldn't comment on this particular case, he says that Australia could benefit from looking back in history.
Previously in Victoria, during the 1990s, police were killing about 15 to 20 civilians each year, compared to only one a year at that time in New South Wales. And they justified that they had the right to protect their officers. But finally, when the people being killed by police in Victoria were more people with mental illness rather than with criminal records, the tide of public opinion changed. And the Victorian Police Force then implemented a new program of training called Project Beacon. On average, in Victoria, about one person a year is killed by police at this time, compared to 20 years ago, where it was about 15 people a year were being killed by Victorian police.
And the key part to ensuring someone isn't at harm to themselves or causing harm to others, and possibly what could have saved Kumanji, is containment.
If the priority is the protection of human life, taking that approach means that the number one method is to contain the situation and have a holding operation. Even if it lasts for 24 hours, if you can save a human life, then the outcome is successful. But unfortunately, in some parts of Australia, there's this expectation on young police officers that they can solve every situation and they can do it within half an hour or an hour. It's not possible very often, particularly when you're dealing with very complex human behaviour.
In this case, officers failed to ensure Kumanji's safety. Peter says if the number one priority to all police officers is to ensure the safety of human life, not only will they be able to save people, but they will also be able to destigmatise and lessen fears around police brutality.
We don't want the situation developing in parts of Australia where family and friends are too scared to call the police because they fear the police might kill the person who needs assistance. We want to be able to maintain confidence in police forces in different states and territories of Australia so that people in need don't have to fear calling the police. We want the police to be part of a positive helping response.
It has been confirmed that an investigation around Kumanji's death will take place, but even the way it is conducted needs to be thought about critically.
Very often the people doing the investigation are police officers, senior officers from the same particular department. So across Australia, there's very strong movements towards independent evaluators and investigators. But you can make comments about the principles involved. And that's what I'm largely restricting my comments to, that the principle that I'm upholding is the value of human life. And that any police force across the territories or the states of Australia must have the protection of human life as their number one priority. And every response needs to be evaluated in that context.
Deakin University's Honorary Fellow in the School of Humanities and Social Sciences, Peter Norden, ending that report by Samantha Smith and Alice Savage.